Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Ori Eisen, founder and CEO at Trusana, the leading provider of enterprise-wide passwordless multi-factor authentication. To learn more about Trusana, visit trusana.com. Welcome, Ori. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Ori, you have a fascinating background. In 1996, you were the circulation manager for Home Lighting and Accessories magazine. 8 years later, you founded the 41st Parameter, which was a huge cybersecurity success story. And the company went on to be acquired by Experian for $324 million in 2013. Fill in the blanks for us on that, because it really is a great story.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I was born in Israel, and at age six told my parents that I want to live in the United States. And if you have children of your own and they tell you at age six they want to live somewhere, you basically tell them, sure, you will do that. I landed in New York at age 21, and I got a job at a few places. The most notable is Home Lighting and Accessories. I was the circulation manager there while I was going to school at Montclair. When I finished my degree, I went to the West Coast and lived in Silicon Valley and worked for Bank of America, learned all about banking and brokerage and a lot of online fraud. I then moved to work at VeriSign. I was the national director of fraud when they bought Network Solutions. It was the time where you could only get a domain name at one place. So a lot of fraud happened there. And then I got to American Express, which is where I live here in Phoenix since then, about 19 years ago. And I was the director of fraud worldwide on their internet and mail order and card not present fraud. After seeing the industry from all these different angles, I decided to go on my own, Steve, and start 41st Parameter right here in Scottsdale. We ran the company for 9 years, had the top banks and merchants and airlines as customers. And as you said, Experian acquired it. After that, I volunteered a little bit with DHS and Thorn, which I still do. And if anybody who listens and doesn't know what Thorn does, they help fight child exploitation online as a result of all the holes in security we guys know about. And a few months into just volunteering, I realized there's more music in me, and I founded Trusana with very good investors and backers, which we'll talk about soon. And 5 years in, we're leading the charge on getting rid of passwords, because I believe if we do that, we will make it very hard for the bad guys to do what they do.
So, Ori, the world would like to give passwords the finger. I know I would like to. There's a lot of sentiment around what you're doing. Before we ask about Trusana and what you've developed, tell us how passwords have plagued security at organizations globally. How bad is the problem, and is it getting any better?
It is not getting better, unfortunately. 10 years ago, we had something around the breach of the year. You'd have like one big breach a year that everybody would talk about. And as we go into time, it's literally the breach of the day. Just open the news, put the word data breach, and stories come in. I don't think it's getting better, because we are still dragging technologies from the 60s into the 21st century, namely username and passwords. And what we're not realizing is, with the advent of malware that is already on the browser, you could have a password that is 50 characters long. It doesn't really matter how long the password or how complex, if the malware is right there listening to it. And I think it's a folly to keep promoting to consumers and employees, pick more complex passwords, as if the only attack vector we're facing, Steve, is brute force. It is absolutely not what's going on. I think if you listen to things like Michael Chertoff, before he left the DHS, he said, if I could boil down all the issues that I see with hacking, breaches, malware, and so forth, you see that the most common denominator to all of them is the weakness of the password. So I think it's time to literally move on and start winning the use of username and passwords, so the bad guys cannot easily just sit there, wait for you to type them in or transmit them over the wire from a password vault or from your browser, saving them either way, and then give away the keys to the financial kingdoms and so forth.
So, Ori, I saw you in a video, and you gave what I think was the world's fastest demo. I've never seen such a fast and a great demo. So, you know, surely you can give us the elevator pitch on Trusana, you know, 30,000 foot view on the company before we jump in and talk about exactly what you do.
Thank you for that, Steve. That video is on our homepage at trusana.com if you want to see it. I didn't realize that years later I would walk at the RSA show and people would say, "You're the guy from the video," and take pictures with me. I didn't realize the impact of that video, but indeed, it was at Fitovate. I give you 7 minutes to make one demo. And you're right, the demo is very fast. It's part of what I'm trying to transmit, which is it's very easy to get rid of passwords. And in 6 minutes, I've done about 10 of these demos. So thank you for recognizing it. I would say this, in our lives as security practitioners, every time we say to our teams, we will make something more secure, the immediate knee-jerk reaction they have is, oh my God, they're going to put more padlocks on the door, or they're going to make it easier to get in. And I think we have to change that. The elevator pitch is, you can have great security and great user experience at the same time. It's no longer an either or.
So one of your advisors at the company Aureus, Frank Abagnale, his riveting story provided the inspiration for Steven Spielberg's 2002 film Catch Me If You Can, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, and Tom Hanks was the FBI agent on his heels. We filmed an interview with Frank about a year and a half ago. He raved about your company. So I'm curious, how did you meet Frank, and you know, what has him so enthusiastic about what you're doing?
Frank and I met in my last company, 41st Parameter. He's actually the one that I would credit with giving me the idea to leave American Express and start my own company. So this is the second time we're working together. What Frank really likes is the fact that we are not afraid to put our technology just before we sell it in front of people like him, people like Chris Roberts, people like Kevin Mitnick, and others who shall remain nameless. Because we really want to know if you put this technology in front of a real hacker or a social engineer or a con man like Frank, will they be able to navigate around it and break it? Because if they can do it, Steve, that means what? The other guys can too. That is the one thing he keeps telling us. It's almost like I play chess with him and I show him, here is what we do, and I let him see it and says, well, why can't I do just this? And say, oh my God, you're right. So we go back to the lab, we fix things, we show it to him again, and we go back and forth, until he says, yes, even though I could probably break it, it will not be economical at this point, because you know the joke is the Mission Impossible team always gets in, but you can't do an attack like that again and again and again for millions of people, so you can't bring down the house. I think that's what he likes the most. The second is the way I met him is by having a conversation with him in a limo. There's an article about it in Business Insider if you want to read about that. But I basically told him, look, you know everything there is to know about the psyche of people and how to get them to do what you want them to do, and especially with paper and checks, you know, like you've seen in the movie. And at the time, I was the head of risk at American Express on internet kind of frauds. So we agreed as two different magicians or two different kinds of magic to exchange notes and just be as forthcoming as possible with how he does what he does and what I do. And the relationship has lasted for more than 20 years now, and it kind of bleeds into more of a personal relationship, but he is probably the best at what he does on planet Earth.
That's exciting. And I know he's still an advisor there, right?
That is correct.
So, Ori, if a CISO at a large enterprise is watching and they're interested in Trusana, they want to be passwordless. You know, it's a daunting challenge. Where do they start? So, you know, emotionally, you know, they're over the hump. They think that they can work with Trusana. What's the starting point for them?
Let me say what is not the starting point, because I think it's just as important. Do not think about it as a big bang approach where on one quarter or 1 week, you'll snap your finger and the whole company is passwordless. That is not how we would recommend to do it. The best way is to start in a pocket. It could be just in the IT department, or just pick 200 people at the company who want to be guinea pigs to try something new, and only go after one system. It could be your SSO, it could be desktop login, it could be something that is very specific So you gain the confidence of what it takes to onboard, what it takes to deploy, what it takes to train, what kind of phone calls you might get about this new approach. And once you internalize that, feel free to cascade it to your PAM, to your VPN, to everywhere else in the company. But don't think about it as all or nothing. The most common way, Steve, we see people do it today is change the login to Windows 10 to a passwordless login and use the ability to cascade that trust to an SSO. And if you do this one integration, you have essentially taken out the use of passwords for most of your employees, for most systems, because those passwords will remain where they are, but the user will never need to use them. So that is the easiest way to get started today.
So with a lot of technology in our industry, the Achilles heel is the complexity. It's the implementation, it's the rollout. Talk to us about Trusana. What is the degree of difficulty in working with your technology?
I jokingly say, don't let your stack hold you back. That determines the degree of difficulty. So without mentioning specific vendors, take any of the more modern IAM systems. I'll use Okta or Ping or ForgeRock just as an example. If they have a SAML2 integration, then all it takes is to exchange the keys of a SAML2 integration, and then we become an IDP. So order of magnitude of an hour to 2 hours, and you get that working when you have the stack that is ready for it. If you want to do the same thing for a VPN that is 10 years old and is just not ready with these kind of integrations, it might take more time. You might need to put a middleware in front of it and do some more prep work. So that is the single factor that changes how difficult it is to get going. If you're mostly using, you know, Microsoft Azure, Office 365, modern SSOs, it should not be difficult at all, and everything is standards based.
So you mentioned Microsoft a few times since we've been sitting here talking. We interviewed Brett Arsenault, their CISO. He's fantastic. This was last year. And Brett said at the time that the company was about 91% passwordless, meaning about 91% of their employees did not need to use a password. Yep. I'm going to guess that they're not the norm, right? What is the norm? How many companies are where Microsoft and Brett are? Like, where are we insofar as passwords right now in these big companies?
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for him and Microsoft. When we kind of opened the market in 2016, by the way, right after that demo you mentioned before. So as soon as I got off stage from that demo at Finovate, 60 companies asked to start a pilot with us. I've never seen anything like this before. Because passwords represented not just stodgy old technology, there's a little bit of password rage in all of us. People just hate passwords. So the promise of getting rid of password is something that is just amazing. So when we went and showed it to Microsoft Ventures, by the way, all the way to their CEO, I think they were already thinking the same thing, and they've hastened the process internally in the last 3 years to get to 91%. And I applaud them for it, because they can't tell the world to go passwordless as a company and not do it themselves, right?
Right.
To your question, I think 5% of companies of their size have taken the initial steps to go passwordless. So we're in the early days of this market. But I wouldn't be surprised that with COVID and employees working remotely and the ability of the bad guys to latch on to browsers at people's homes, that more and more CISOs will make 2020 or 2021, the year where they ask for budget and resources, because now the security issue is so clear. They're no longer plugging into your wall at your router. They're no longer connecting to your own Wi-Fi. They're now all looking like somebody who's coming from a coffee shop. So I believe what Microsoft has done successfully up to now will be mimicked by the top CISOs, and we might get to 20% penetration in the next 12 to 18 months.
So let's elevate this from the CISOs. Let's move up to the C-suite and to the boardroom. Suppose you're talking to the CEO of a large financial institution or any major corporation. What are the consequences of them not going passwordless and, you know, remaining status quo?
Okay. I don't use FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So I'll just give you the facts and everybody will be smart enough to draw their own conclusions. In risk management, if you study that, and I came from that world of fraud and risk management before cybersecurity, there's the notion of the slowest cow. What does that mean? If a wolf looks at a herd of cows and starts to chase them, the one that will get eaten is the one that is slowest. It's just how nature is. So at this point where everybody's using username and password, they're all slow cows and it doesn't really matter. But as soon as the early adopters start moving faster and not, they will immune themselves from that attack. If you're going to stay behind, you will just be one of those companies that lets the bad guys keep their old behaviors. You're not going to make it hard on them and they'll still eat your lunch. That is really the risk. How you come in the order of priorities of the bad guys, that depends what you're selling. So companies with money, healthcare records, iPods probably have more susceptibility to being attacked than people who sell straw hats. So that would be the second rule of risk management. It really depends what you're trying to protect. But all this to say is if somebody has malware that works or they're buying credentials on the dark web, and you're still letting those keys get into you without any second factor or getting rid of passwords, you are actually part of the problem, I'm sorry to say, because you're not realizing that the attack vector has caught on to what people are doing. And if you're staying stagnant, you are not letting progress come through and the bad guys, you're not kind of stopping them in their tracks.
So Ori, what is it that's holding the CISOs and the security teams back? Is it that they're just too busy because they're fighting, you know, so many fires? They're dealing with ransomware. They're dealing with, rolling out other technologies. Is it budget? Is it that they don't have the people? What is it?
There's a cartoon that looks like this. You have two cavemen dragging a cart and the wheels are triangles, and you can see how difficult it is for them to drag triangular wheels. And a guy comes to them with the real wheel, like the first wheel, and says, I have something for you. And they say, sorry, we're too busy. That is what I see every day. Let me explain why. The reason you're so busy, let me be blunt, because 81% of what we see is because of one reason. Go read the data. It's because of static credentials and username passwords. We have made systems that are like cheese. They're filled with holes. So don't tell me you're busy covering the holes every day and you don't have time to plug the holes. That's what I see. And it's like no matter what words I use, because I'm the vendor, like I turn to the dark side, Steve, people think that I'm trying to sell them something. So even when I tell them, you know what, I don't want to charge you. I just want to give it to you. Just start using it. Again, they hear sales pitch and not that I really want to make it hard on the bad guys. If you go study my background and the people who joined Trusona, you see that we do have an ulterior motive. Let me tell you what it is. Our mission is to curb the funding of evil. The fact that we have a shell called Trusona, which is a software company, is just a means to do something. It is not what we do. So if you're listening and you really want to stop handling the tickets of password resets, handling the tickets of, oh, I got another breach because of static passwords, why don't we address the symptom and the core issue as opposed to just covering it up every day with another Band-Aid? I'm serious about that. So let's talk about it like adults. Start getting rid of the reason why you have all these issues, and then it will solve a bigger picture, as opposed to every time with a point solution, just add more AI and more detection and more things, but in the center of it, you still have username and password.
Before we let you go, tell us about the roadmap, if there is one, or what CISOs and the security community can expect from Trusona over the next year, next few years out.
I first want to remind everybody who listens that when COVID began and we realized that a lot of people would work from home, we gave away our passwordless login into a Zoom account. If you're a educational kind of situation or a business account, for free, because a lot of people are going to go log in into Zoom all day long, and we just wanted to give something back to society. as part of it, I would say that if you're working on your budget cycles for next year and you don't have a earmark for going passwordless or at least starting, I beg you, call us, because you need to hear what's going on and see what's going on and what others have gone through to realize that it's not some futuristic thing. You can have it now and you should start now, because this pandemic is going to keep us probably at home for a longer time than we thought. As long as that is happening, the attack vectors on the front lines are just getting harder and harder to defend from. So I would love anybody who wants to join this journey to go passwordless to just raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm interested, tell me more, and really see the higher good in it, because we are all going to make it hard on the bad guys to do what they do. So that is my hope for the end of this year and the beginning of next year.
So Ori, I have to tell you that you're just so entertaining, and you know it's great for somebody in security to be able to convey the message this way. I'm just curious, do some of the large enterprise CISOs that you work with get to talk to you directly?
When I can get through, yes. And some of them will tell you that I'm not coming to them with anything to sell, but to have a practitioner discussion. And if it makes sense to go into an engagement, we will. And if not, we're just talking to each other. But many of them just are so fed up by the usual sales pitch that they just don't let companies like Trusona even get in. I'm trying very hard to break that barrier and just have a conversation like this with as many people as possible.
Well, I know there's a lot of CISOs watching this video, and I expect they're going to be calling you. So thank you so much for joining us today, Ori.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, Steve.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Ori Eisen, founder and CEO at Trusona, the leading provider of enterprise-wide passwordless multi-factor authentication. To learn more about our sponsor, Trusona, visit trusona.com. To keep up with all of our media, visit cybercrimemagazine.com.